Well, now to China's quiet advancement in creating the world's first digital currency controlled by a central bank, and with it the potential for the state to increase control over its people and even to change the global financial order. Currently, trials of a digital yuan are underway in four Chinese cities, with a design expected to be finalised by the end of 2020. Unlike paper cash, a digital currency would allow the People's Bank of China to see how money is being used in real time, much faster than its current ability to monitor money flows through conventional transactions. And it would also help it compete against private digital currencies being tested by the likes of Facebook. But there are fears it would also give China unprecedented granular access to the lives of its 1.3 billion people that was impossible with cash. Digital currencies are being explored in the theoretical sense anyway by various central banks around the world. Back with us, tax and cryptocurrency lawyer Campbell Pentney from Bell Gully, who has been following developments. Campbell, welcome back to 9 to Noon.
Oh, good morning. Good to talk to you again, Catherine.
Good, thank you. Is this a cryptocurrency in the true sense of the word? How so?
So it'll probably use a technology like blockchain. It probably won't be exactly blockchain, but I think there's a key difference, which is that something like Bitcoin is decentralized. That's the key aspect. There's no central authority. In this scenario, it might feel like using Bitcoin. You'll be having a digital wallet. You'll send money from one person to another, probably very quickly. But that will all be controlled by a central intermediary. So I think it probably, in some ways, is the polar opposite to what we think of as the traditional cryptocurrency.
Which is decentralized, no one knows who anyone is, but everyone can see the transactions that are happening. Is that broadly right?
Exactly, and also no transactions can be censored, and transactions cannot be reversed, which of course would be the opposite, where you have a digital currency which might use a similar sort of digital ledger technology, but where there is a central authority that pulls the levers and controls transactions if they need to.
What are the motivations of China or any other central bank looking at introducing a digital currency? What are the reasons for it?
I think from China's point of view, the main point you've touched upon is that it gives you a surveillance or observation of all transactions in real time. You can see exactly what has been spent and what people are doing with money. You could even have programmable wallets where you deduct tax, say sales tax, as every payment is made. So you would have the ability to see, for example, the price of potatoes in one state to another in real time and be able to use that information. And then on top of that, you have the fact that you have international trade. China obviously has concerns about the fact that it might be in an environment where it needs to compete with sanction laws, the banking system. So having a digital currency on a world scale might give it a first-mover advantage in terms of a new international trade network outside of the existing sort of SWIFT system.
So let's take them one at a time. For a start, would this mean you'll be able to tax some transactions that possibly aren't being taxed using current cryptocurrencies?
Absolutely. You would be able to have a full view of exactly what's happening on a transaction basis. So you would at least be able to have a real-time, accurate description of what a person has spent money on, how a person has earned income, and that would be very useful in terms of the alternative, which is having to access bank records. Now, I gave the example of an automatic sales tax. It might be possible to do that. We have our GST. You could have a similar sales tax, which has a tax with every transaction. So you swipe your wallet, and there would be some database that calculates what the tax rate should be, and that money is then automatically paid to the authority as needed.
Let's look at the third matter you raise, which is where this sits in the global trade and in the global financial system. The US dollar, so often regarded as the benchmark currency. We've already had a lot of frictions in the past between the United States and China over the fixing of the yuan and where the yuan is set. How would a digital yuan begin to affect the global financial system and powers within?
So we're looking at global payments here, and take an example. It might be that the next time China decides to provide financial aid to an impoverished country, it does so, but as a condition, the payment will be made by way of the digital yuan, and they would then need to have the infrastructure set up to be able to afford that and be able to take it. It might also be a negotiating point in terms of the next Belt and Road Initiative, or even in terms of a free trade agreement. So when you have that, and then you have other countries that are setting up their own systems, for example, it might be that Russia or Iran decide to go this way too, you could have a parallel payment system where the US is not involved and you don't have the usual safeguards or regulatory controls in the banking system that we already have.
How do settlements happen now? How do global financial transactions get settled now?
And look, that's a technical issue which I don't fully understand myself, right, of course. But no, totally. Look, and the simple answer is it's done through the banking system, right? And there are checks and measures in place to ensure that it's done properly. But when you take away that and you have digital currency, then everything is done by way of a network. It's done by way of a whether it's blockchain, whether it's some other digital ledger technology, there is effectively an automation in place. So it simply is an automatic transfer. You don't have that delay, so it's instant, but equally there's no safeguard.
We spoke previously about the possible threats of the like of Facebook's currency, in particular if it was matched by other big, big players, when it comes to the sovereign powers of a country's central bank and of its government, one with fiscal policy, particularly the ability to tax, and two with monetary policy, which is the ability to control your money supply. How would a giant like China, having its own digital cryptocurrency, how would that potentially affect those sovereign rights? Would it be no different to what it has by having its own paper currency, in inverted commas, now?
I think that's kind of right, because it has to be pegged to the yuan. It can't be like Bitcoin. It can't be something that has no value. So one would anticipate to be able to be used in trade and not expand the monetary supply, it would need to be some kind of peg whereby you have, say, an allocated reserve fund that's set aside and that is matched by the digital yuan. And that's very important, because if you're a trade partner and you're receiving payment in this yuan, you want to make sure that it has security as money and it has the same value as you would have otherwise received under a conventional payment.
So that is a different matter from what happens when private corporations try to launch their own currencies and it is not the official currency of a sovereign state.
So that's very interesting, because with Facebook, what they've had to do, their Libra has now pivoted. It is now called Novi. And one of the key changes they've made to try and make sure that it is appropriate and acceptable to regulators, previously you had the Libra coin. The Libra coin will be backed by a basket of different currencies. So Libra would be one currency with its own separate value. Under Novi, there will be multiple currencies. So you might have a Novi USD, you might have a Novi NZD. And each Novi coin will be pegged to that particular currency. So what you have now is Facebook still involved in sort of a global payment system, but there won't be a separate currency which is called Libra and which has its own value proposition.
That said, does that mean a Reserve Bank still controls money supply? Or will it simply factor in how many Novis, what are they, Novis?
No, Novis.
Novis are out there as part of its money supply.
It might do that, but it becomes more complicated when we start getting more choice as to what we're spending. So, for example, in the future, you might have a digital wallet, and that digital wallet might contain a range of assets. It might be you have digital NZD, you might have the digital yuan, you might have something like Bitcoin, you might even have tokenized loyalty rewards. And it might be that there's a lack of friction and interchangeability, and you can decide exactly how you have your money stored and exactly what you spend and which type of money you choose. At that point in the future, it does become very difficult because you have a range of competing currencies, as we already have, but this is more difficult. And at that point, a reserve bank might need to consider how they make the NZD more desirable, particularly in an environment where we might have negative interest rates. And then the question will be, do we need to have some controls that avoid people simply diverting their money from NZD every week into some other currency, whether it's Novi, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's another digital currency?
How far advanced is China with the digital currency?
So in August, the officials announced that they were nearly ready for launch. Now in September, the latest word is that there is no official timeline and that there are still some requirements that they need to iron out. One issue mentioned was anti-money laundering. Now, bear in mind, this is the tail end of a six-year project, so it's not surprising that they want to take it carefully, because you can imagine the implications if, for example, there was a security breach and, say, there was a forging of money or a hack or something like that that set the project back. And that's why they're probably going cautious with these with their pilots. In fact, a bank even launched early a wallet with the currency, and it was even used by people, but then quickly brought down again. So they obviously have the wallet ready, but there are a few teething issues that need to be ironed out.
Some of those giants like Alipay and WeChat Pay, might they be? How would it interface with those?
Oh, look, it's interesting, because they could definitely be involved in that. They could be integrated into it. On the other hand, they could be replaced. And from a user's point of view, I would imagine that the actual interface is very, very similar in terms of how they use it. The key difference, of course, is that the digital token they would send through that platform would, of course, be a token that is controlled and monitored by the central authority rather than a private bank or a payment institute.
When it does launch, is there going to be potentially an immediate impact for the likes of New Zealand companies trading with China? Or could it be phased in? Is it going to require some sort of response by our Reserve Bank?
I think we will, because it is a payment system that is akin to cryptocurrency in the sense that it's outside the banking system, and that raises all kinds of questions in terms of sanction law. It raises questions in terms of taxation law. We haven't seen anything yet, so I don't know if we get into a scenario like with crypto, where we have sort of a 2 to 3 year limbo period, where people aren't quite sure exactly whether they can use this and what the rules are. So I think we probably will need to have some kind of regulatory guidance, because no doubt there will be concerns when people are perhaps persuaded or motivated to be making cross-border payments in a digital yuan.
Well, we're talking about the concerns around privacy and granular government control within China, but would it have access to more detailed information about the other end of those transactions, whether it's a New Zealand company or a New Zealand consumer?
Well, interestingly, China's official view is that there will be a layer of privacy on this transaction, but they say it will be a balanced privacy, and balance means they have to take into account things like tax evasion and things like corruption and so forth. We don't know exactly what that privacy layer looks like, whether, for example, it's optional or not, but your point is a good one, which is that there's no reason why the network of the digital yuan wouldn't extend outside China. So they would absolutely, if they control the technology, they control the platform and the network, they would have a view as to all transactions, unless there was some need or some insistence that a country required there to be a full privacy layer, say, on transactions with New Zealand parties.
There's a lot of work presumably being done or considered or needing to happen if this is getting closer to launch. And there's been more than one delay, we should point out. Now, we mentioned the concerns around privacy and what's called granular government control. And we've seen this tightening in China already, particularly with the introduction of the social credit score. Do you have, or are people pointing out concerns about this being yet another level of control into individual lives?
It does, and that level of control, that concern, is actually applicable and has been raised both in terms of currencies like the digital yuan, also in terms of Facebook's project as well, because you have a central actor who is able to control wallets and able to restrict payments, certainly in China. You can imagine that if you were using your wallet to spend money on something undesirable, say online gambling, there might be restrictions put in place. Equally, in terms of, say, a private money network, if you don't comply with their terms of use or you've done something considered to be suspicious, there might be a means where they freeze your bank account, freeze your wallet. Now, that's similar with existing bank accounts, but of course, if you're in a country with a social credit score, the potential to be able to block your wallet or to be able to block you from making payments to other certain people who are considered not desirable, that is much more expensive.
Thank you, Campbell. Really appreciate it. Campbell Pentney is tax and cryptocurrency lawyer from Bell Gully.